Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, Monday, June the 1st, 2026. 6:01:26, 20 minutes past the hour here, and we have got a big way, big guest to kick off our month of June here and our Monday morning. Now, I want to read this story because today is a big day for the post office, and we could not have a better guest joining us momentarily, and we're kind of tangentially involved in this, and I'll explain that as the morning goes along here. Here's the story. Recently, at the Boston 2026 World Exposition, the Postal Service announced the winner of its Stamp Encore contest, the Mr. Rogers stamp from 2018, to celebrate the organization's 250th anniversary and gear up to celebrate the country's 250th anniversary, the public was invited to vote on their favorite of 25 stamp panes from the Postal Service's recent past. The Mr. Rogers stamp was reissued along with a new four-image Mr. Rogers souvenir sheet in a ceremony as part of the exposition's favorite stamp theme day. The stamps and souvenir sheet will be available at the post office locations nationwide and online at the postal store starting today, June the 1st. The Stamp Encore competition gave the public 10 weeks to vote on their favorite stamp by mail, in person, at first day of issue ceremonies on and online. Over 500,000 votes were received, with the Mr. Rogers stamp securing the win by more than 40,000 votes over the next highest contender. How about that? And these will be forever stamps, again, available today, June the 1st. Now, we are tangentially involved because in 2018, when the Mr. Rogers stamp was first introduced, we did a live broadcast from that ceremony at WQED in Pittsburgh. And we're joined by a lot of the castmates of the Mr. Rogers television series, as well as Mrs. Rogers herself, who was at that ceremony. Hard to believe that's been 6 years ago now. Joining us, who better? Who could join us than America's favorite postman, Mr. Rogers' postman for well over 30 years, and a dear friend of Mr. Rogers and confidant, the legendary man who's been to Marion on three different occasions and helped us out a lot over the last 12 years here, our good friend, Mr. McFeely, David Newell. David, how are you?
I am fine. Speedy delivery, Scott. Here we are once again.
here we are with big news. When you heard that the post office was going to reissue this stamp and that it had won this competition so convincingly, what was your reaction?
I thought, I was surprised, actually. I thought, there were so many stamps in the competition, and they all were beautiful stamps. And when I heard that Fred won, I was ecstatic because Fred would have loved this because he was a writer, a writer of notes, of thank you notes. He loved putting stamps on his personal notes. If Fred received a note, he immediately sat down and responded to that person. And that would have meant a lot to him to have his image and King Friday's on a postage stamp. And yes, you're right. Today is the day that they're available at post offices around the country. And I guess you said online. I wasn't aware of that. I guess you can order online, too. And there's also a little four stamp package you can get too. So this is all a tribute from the post office to Fred and the work he's done all these years. It's quite an honor, and his image will be traveling around the United States for years to come, because I think, and as you said, that it will join the forever stamps, which means it's a stamp that will be always available. That's my interpretation. Is it yours?
Yeah, I believe that's what it is. You know, David, what surprises me so much about this, coming up this August, Mr. Rogers will have been off of television as a series for 25 years. The last show was August of 2001. Why does this show and this man, who unfortunately passed away not too long after the end of the show, still endure with people?
You know, that is a wonderful... I think it has something to do with Fred's kindness and his acceptance of everyone. And it's just... I wondered that myself, and it's amazing that Fred still resonates. It's as if he has not moved on, so to speak. But you know, there is a YouTube channel now. I don't know if you're aware of it. It's dedicated to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and all things Mr. Rogers, and it begins today too. Today and later on this week, you can watch Mr. Rogers on YouTube. And up to this point, it's also been streamed on Pluto, and it's online. You know, I think now it's available more than it was when it was originally broadcast. And I think it has something to do also with all the outlets that we have now. Then we have three commercial stations and a public station back when we were producing the program. But the availability really gets it, you know, delivered to so many more people. But it goes back to what Fred stands for, and basically being kind to others. I think that really is the overall message that Fred gave. It has something to do with that, but that's a very good question. You know, 20 years later, I don't know about you, but I watched, I was a little too old for it, but I watched Captain Kangaroo when I was... And, you know, you don't hear that much about other children's programming, but here is Fred Rogers being celebrated, as you said, what, 25 years? Is that the
25? Yeah, 25 years this August.
And it's remarkable, but you know, there is a legacy, too. We have Fred Rogers Productions has, it's probably about 10 years old now. There's a program called Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is a animated series featuring Daniel Tiger, who was one of the cast members of the Neighborhood. And there's another series that's called Don Quixote. And that's another series that sprung out of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And they're both on public television. So it's Fred's legacy being carried on by other elements of what he started. He started in 1954. It was April 1st, 1954, that WQED came on the air, the first community-supported public television in the country. And it started with a program called The Children's Corner, and that was Fred's program. And he had Daniel Tiger, and that's where Daniel Tiger first appeared. And now Daniel has his own series some, 50 years later, or whatever the math is. It's remarkable. remarkable. And it has something to do with Fred's genius of being able to communicate to children and to write stories that is specifically for a young child. And I think all of that works together to make Fred's work so immortal in a way.
And you know, David, when I think about this, I do think about you specifically, because over those 30 years on the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood television series, you portrayed the mailman. And, you know, this is about stamps, and this is about the post office, and that was your iconic character. Is there a special connection because of that, that you played a postman for over 30 years?
You mean the connection to...
To the stamp.
To the stamp. Oh, you mean my connection or the connection... Well, I don't know if the... You mean the post office knew McFeely and made the... Is that what you're saying?
Or? Well, more just, do you personally feel a connection to the stamp because you portrayed a postman for so many years on the show?
I see what you mean. Yes, I do. I do. I feel that connection, plus the connection of over the years, my behind-the-scenes duties were the public relations for the program. And as you know, I traveled to many different areas, including your neighborhood, promoting Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And that's the stamp means a lot to me, too. You're right. Never thought of it that way. But yes, it does. It shows that something I've been working with and for all these many years. And, you know, I've been with the program, if you go back to the 1967, that's when I began. That's 50-some years. And that stamp does symbolize a lot of my love for my job. I don't know if this is making sense, but all of that stamp really, it is so satisfying to see the Postal Service honoring Fred in that way. I feel so happy not only for my involvement in the program, but for Fred and what he was doing for children. And it's like they're saying, thank you, Mr. Rogers. Here's a stamp. It's almost like putting a portrait up in a national gallery, in a way, in my way of looking at it. It really is a portrait. And a portrait that travels around the country every day, you know, miles and miles and miles. And it sounds like they'll be doing it for years to come. What a tribute to not only Fred and his work, but also public broadcasting, too. You know, they're the ones who are responsible for having Fred on the air in the United States.
You know, and David, not to get too deep into this, but you can't help but see the stories as of late because of the funding being cut to public broadcasting as of late. Oh. A lot of NPR stations going out of business, a lot of people being laid off, a lot of things happening. What do you make of this in general, as the funding has been cut and not restored as of this point?
It's the saddest day when I heard that was happening. And in a way, it makes me angry, too. I think of why public television was started for the public. And what children have learned, not only from our program, but from programs like Sesame Street and Reading Rainbow, all of that was available. Excellent program. You can let your children watch anything on public television and not worry about it. But and above all of that is all of the wonderful programs that they have, Masterpiece Theater, and they introduced Julia Child. And it's so sad. You know, Fred helped start public television. question. His was the first program in 54, the Children's Corner, on then what was called National Educational Television. He would be so sad that this cutting of money has happened. I was so upset. I do have some positive thinking about it. At least public television will remain. It's going to have struggles, but I think the public will help. I think that's going to make a lot of public stations increase their pledge drives to supplement the money that's been cut. But we'll get through it. We'll get through it. I don't approve of the current administration cutting the funding, of all things, to cut back on education. I'll get off my soapbox, but that's how
Are you surprised that things like education and things like public television have now become more political than maybe they were before, and maybe to a large degree political at this point?
Yes, I think it has, and they shouldn't be. But it seems, you know, the money that was cut from public television in the last government budget, whatever that happened was, is minuscule. It probably, you know, they spend more on one battleship than they do on all the money given to public television for educational purposes. That's what is so frustrating. It really is upsetting, because I've spent my whole career in public television, but we've done a lot of good, and I rest on that. I know that the letters that have come in over the years, just all types of letters telling Fred how much the program has meant to their family, and letters. Well, there was a little girl once we met somewhere in Connecticut. I can't remember exactly where, but Fred stayed in touch with the family, and he heard that the little girl had serious illness and was in the hospital, and he was so concerned that, without telling anybody, he next day got on a plane, flew to Connecticut with the puppets, and went into the hospital. The parents knew he was coming, and spent the day with the family and the little girl in the hospital, and got on a plane and came back to Pittsburgh. That was Fred Rogers, and he didn't tell anybody, you know. And he's done so many things like that. He was on the board of the Pittsburgh Children's Hospital, and after a board meeting at the hospital business office, he would go to the different floors and visit children, just to because of his concern for children. It was a real thing. He wasn't just a television star, so to speak. In fact, that's what he liked least about being on television. He didn't like the attention on him. He loved writing the program. He loved doing the music, and loved the creativity. But he didn't like being a television star. It made him uncomfortable being called a TV star. But no one else could have done what he did. He wrote his own material, and nobody else could have delivered it in his own way. So he was really a unique person, and it's the stamp just honors all of that, and that makes me so happy that really he's in America somewhere, being delivered on a piece of mail somewhere every day. Forever, so to speak.
Yeah, and I want to get back to the stamp here in just a second. But David, if you could talk to somebody, I don't know, the president, Congress, somebody, about the cuts that have been made to public television. What would you say to them?
Oh boy, I've often thought to myself what I would say. It's interesting you would ask that. But I would say, how could you cut funding to something that's educational, something that has reached millions of children in areas that didn't have, in the early days, didn't have other television but public television? And the message that it brings, you know, it's such a positive representation of the government, I think, to provide quality television like that, to underwrite quality television like that, and cutting it, I think you've made a terrible mistake. It's minuscule in the overall budget of what we spend our tax dollars on. It's minuscule. Now, it also, you know, it's also written by viewers too. That's why they have pledge drives, and it's not all the government's money. It's other corporations underwrite programs, and they've really come in to help with this funding cut. I think some of the corporations have upped their underwriting. I can't, you know, say that for sure, but I think it's being helped in other ways financially, public television, because I don't think that we want to lose this. And I think there are people in the government who are pushing for the funding to be restored, and I hope it is. I would think, and I don't want to get political, but I think the next administration will do something about it. Whoever that next administration is, I think would restore some funding to help what one of the best things the government has provided free, and the quality, it's just unbelievable to me. I love public television, I guess you could tell, and I know you're a fan too, and it must have surprised you to see this cutting, the finances being cut.
I think a lot of people have felt that way. Now, David, one thing I want to talk about here, because we booked this interview on Friday, and the stamp, of course, released today, and in a sad irony, we all learned yesterday that Joe Negri, known to many people in Pittsburgh as Handyman Negri and around the world on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, died on Sunday at the age of 99, just 10 days shy of his 100th birthday. Negri was a broadcast pioneer, an accomplished musician, a Pittsburgh icon, and someone many children grew up watching on TV. For more than 30 years, when children across America tuned into Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, they often saw Handyman Negri tinkering on things in the neighborhood of make-believe. And Joe Negri died yesterday at the age of 99, just 10 days, his 100th birthday would have been June the 10th, and passed away yesterday. And at the Mr. Rogers stamp unveiling, he was there, and one of the people we interviewed that day was Joe Negri. What were your thoughts on this when you heard this yesterday, David?
Oh, boy, I didn't process it right away. It took me. I knew Joe was not feeling well, and I hadn't seen him for months. And his family was not having visitors, and I don't know all of the details. But I thought, you know, I've got to see Joe. I've got to find out where he is, because he wasn't at home. I think he was in. In some sort of a care facility. But, I've known Joe for years, too. It really upset me, because he was the kindest person you would ever want to meet. Just, we did so many things together on our own little shows that we would do around the country and around Pittsburgh. He was a genius on the guitar, and the nicest man ever. Just everybody liked Joe Negri. You know, he was a big name in Pittsburgh long before he was on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. But there's one story that I love. I think you know the singer Peggy Lee. Do you know who Peggy Lee is?
Yes,
the singer.
Yeah.
Well, she was with the Pittsburgh Symphony. Oh, this is going back a while. And she had a guitarist with her. She was there three evenings, and her guitarist took ill. And the first night he performed, but the next two nights they were looking for a guitarist the equivalent of what she would require. They got Joe, and he was on the stage with her, accompanied her, and you could see, I was there that night, I could see on stage Peggy Lee out of her ear in some way, this guy is good. He is. And she turned to him, held her hand out, and said, gave him a solo, you know, which she very seldom would do. And then when he did a solo of whatever song they were singing, and then she brought it back and finished the song. That is a compliment of the highest order. She is a musician's musician. Her husband was Dave Barber, who was a superb guitarist. But Joe, that shows the caliber of the musician that he was. So many stories like that. Another one, I hope I'll tell one quick. When we were in Los Angeles, Fred Rogers and I, we were on an elevator somewhere in L.A., and the elevator opens, and in walks Johnny Mathis, the singer. And he didn't say, oh, Mr. Rogers. The first thing he said to Fred was, please tell Joe Negri I said hello, because Joe did some background on some of Johnny's recordings. And there are compliments all the time. And that's the caliber of Joe, not only his musicianship, but his humanness. His kindness was at that same level. And I miss him because he was just this wonderful person. I've been very lucky working with Fred Rogers and the people I've met through the program, but especially everyone in the cast. We became a family in a way.
Well, and that's what I kind of thought about when I heard of Mr. Negri's passing yesterday, because even in 2018, when we were there for the stamp unveiling, Mrs. Rogers was there. She's now gone. Joe Negri was there. He's now gone. Walt Tsang, who took the picture that is on the stamp, was there. He's now gone.
That's right.
Yeah, to see all these people departing, and of course Mr. Rogers gone since 2003. What is that like, David?
It makes me. I have a mixed reaction, because I'm sad to lose all my friends that way. But we were more than just working friends. We were friends off camera too, and but at the same time, I'm so honored to be able to have worked with them. So I have that mixed feeling, and that's what helps. I have those memories of working with Joe, and that's something they can't take away. You know, your memories of that person, you'll always have those. And of Fred and of Joanne Rogers and Walt, who was a wonderful photographer. And we were friends, too. That's the uniqueness of it all, and the uniqueness of working with Fred Rogers. I'm quite honored, and it's funny you should ask that, because I was thinking the same thing about my feelings towards all of this. It is, in a way, like losing a family member. I know Fred and Joe were friends way before the neighborhood began, because Joe worked at all of the TV stations in Pittsburgh, and Fred's program, the first airing of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, was not on public television. It was on the local ABC outlet in Pittsburgh, where Joe worked as musical director, and that's how Fred met Joe. And Fred's they asked Fred to do commercials. He did one, and he said, "Never again will I do a commercial for children. I don't approve of that." And the program went on to public television, and it's been on there ever since. But he met Joe at that station, and Joe became Handyman Negri, and just everything fell into place. And here we are today talking about Joe and his genius. He really was, I think, a musical jazz guitar genius, as was Johnny Costa on the piano. They were both exceptional musicians. Fred was very lucky to have them with us all those years.
You know, David, I want to ask one more question about Joe. Obviously, yeah. As you had said, he was not feeling his best. 99 years old is a great long life. But is there some sadness? I know when his daughter confirmed his death yesterday, 10 days, on June the 10th, he would have been 100. And she had spoke that they were planning some kind of centennial celebration. To die 10 days before your 100th birthday and on the eve of the Mr. Rogers stamp coming back into circulation, the timing of this is not great.
No, it's not great, but in a way it's symbolic of something, and I do know that there was going to be within their Joe's family, they were planning a 100th celebration of his birth, and I think those plans were underway. And you know, they may still have that. I don't know. Just to celebrate his life, I don't know what their plans are, nor do I know any more details about what the family is, the visitations and so forth. I don't know, but I do know. I've been thinking about this all evening. I had an earlier interview this morning from KDK Radio, and Joe used to work there too, and we were reminiscing about Joe and his, what he meant to Pittsburgh. He had a fantastic memory. He had a TV show, a children's show of his own at the local ABC outlet for years. And he opened every show, and he had a small studio audience of about, I'd say, 20 children and their parents. And before, the tradition was that he'd go around and find out everybody's name, every child's name, the first name. And then he'd do the show, and at the end of the show, or 10 minutes before, he'd say, "Now, let's go back and see how Joe, Tommy, Mary," he remembered those names. That was some, and I think musicians, a good musician must have a fantastic memory to remember notes and melodies and all of that. And Joe had, I think, perfect pitch and could play, you know, you would mention a song to him and say, "Do you know this song, Joe?" And he'd play it by ear. And Johnny Costa was the same way, our musical director. They were both musical geniuses, and as was Fred. He was also a musician and a genius communicator. I was so fortunate to be with these people all those many years and work. So all of that is coming back to me now. You know, Fred's loss and Johnny's now gone, and as you said, Walt. that's all coming back, and I think I'm processing that slowly today. But, you know, talking to you helps, too, I think, to talk about something that may be upsetting or sad helps to remember the good times, and that's what I'm doing, and you're bringing up some memories I forgot about.
Well, I'm certainly glad we're able to do that. And David, I guess the final note on Joe here, for somebody you knew for more than half a century, worked with for the better part or for most of that 30-year period with Mr. Rogers, how will you personally remember Joe Negri?
I'll remember him. I'll never forget. We did these little shows. And they were about a half hour live with in-person shows at maybe a children's center or whatever. And the children would be sitting on the floor, and we'd have a little stage, and Joe would have his guitar, and there was a pianist. And we would, Joe said, well, what should we do next, Mr. McFeely? You know, part of our little routine. And a little girl called out from the audience, make a cake. You know, I mean, that's a four-year-old. Make a cake. And Joe said, right off the bat, okay, Mr. McFeely, we'll make a cake. And he said, let's make a pretend musical cake. And he said, now, Mr. McFeely, get a big bowl. And I pantomimed a big bowl. And he said, okay, what do we put in the cake? And the kids would say, eggs. And I would crack an egg, and Joe would make the cracking sound with his guitar. Now let's pour some milk in, and he would make the bubbling sound with his guitar. And we did that, and finally we would stir the cake and put it in the oven, bake it, and serve it. All in 5 minutes. And it was Joe who thought of that and that's what I remember. And we had so much fun. And then we continued to do that from years later. When we had little shows together, we would do that little routine of making a cake. And that's what I remember. That's the first thing that came to my mind. I was, oh, I remember the night we did that for the first time. It was in an outdoor. It was about 7 o'clock at night in Cranberry Township near Pittsburgh. I'll never forget it. That's what I remember about Joe, his creativity, his musicianship, and his sense of fun. And they're all factored into Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And I miss that.
That's what
I'm processing today.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful story. I want to come back to the stamp here in the final 5 minutes we have, David. Uh-huh. And I think about this because I think, you know, we've had in recent years the Mr. Rogers movie with Tom Hanks. We've had the stamp unveiling in 2018. There was the Mr. Rogers documentary. Daniel Tiger is still out there, as you say. A YouTube channel where people can watch Mr. Rogers. The stamp being reissued today, June the 1st. And you are one of the final people who was there in the beginning, who is still there, promoting these things, going to these things. And, you know, it's special in that way that you did portray a mailman, but also that you were the PR man for that particular production. So on this day, as those stamps will be available online and in people's post offices again today, how do you feel?
How do I feel about... I'm still processing that too, but I've, you know, the sadness is still there. But what everything that you've just mentioned is exactly what I've been thinking, and that really helps. That what we all did to help children through television, I'm so proud of, and that's what I'm thinking of. How each one of us, each cast member had a different talent, so to speak, that we offered. And Fred was the funnel, I would think, that we all went through. And he, Fred, made us all feel that we were unique in our own way. Not only did he do that to the audience, but to the people who worked with him. And that's what I remember and feel good about. But there's still the sadness that lingers of missing Joe, but his music will always be with us, as will his image on every program that he was on. So that's a big comfort.
How proud are you of this stamp being available again today?
Oh, very proud. I think it symbolizes the power, you would say, of Fred's words and his music. I think there's a lot in that little portrait that says so much about who the man was and what his mission was, to provide the best he could through television. You know, years ago when he was home for, this was when he was in college, he was going to go into the ministry then, but he didn't. He saw what was available for children on television at that time. This is back in the 50s, and he thought it was appalling. And he said, you know, we can do better than that, entertainment for children. We can do better than just showing old cartoons. He had nothing against cartoons. That wasn't what he was saying. He was saying, but they're recycled. We can create something new for children and include a lot of child development theory within that program and make it really specific for that age group, preschoolers mainly. And he did. He did. And concurrent with his starting Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, he would go to the seminary and take a class in between on his lunch hour. And finally, he was ordained a minister to work with children and families through television. And that was his ministry. Very unique, the only one of its kind in to my knowledge, in the Presbyterian ministry. So, but Fred was such a unique person. Been so lucky to work all these years with people like Fred.
And David, I wanted to get this in years from now, because I think you've got a lot of steam left in you. How would you like people to remember your time on the screen and the things you have done for so many years in your life?
Oh, that's a tough question, but I would like people to know that how much I love being part of this project, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And here's, maybe this explains it better. There's a saying that you probably have heard: when you're picking your career or life's work, make sure it's something you love, because you'll never work a day in your life. That's what I'd like people to remember. I never worked a day in my life working with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Now, that's being facetious in a way, because television's hard. But I always look forward to going to work every day. I love what I was doing. And that's what I'd like people to remember. David loved what he was doing, and that's why he made it his life's work, helping Fred spread the word about about children, about the respect of children. That's what Fred was. That Fred respected childhood and children, and I think that I hope that I was able to help him in my way to create positive television for young children. out of all of that, you can pull something.
No, that's a good legacy to have. David, I was thinking how we'd wrap this up here this morning, and I was thinking that being that this is the day that the stamp will be re-released in the post office, June the 1st, and being that you are the famous Mr. McFeely, Mr. Rogers Postman, and also in honor of Joe Negri, one of our favorite music men who passed away yesterday at the age of 99. Could you sing us off with the Speedy Delivery song?
Well, I'm not a singer, as you know, but here's the song that Fred, well, he wrote two delivery songs for me, and this is the last one he wrote. It goes something like, if there's anything you want, if there's anything you need, McFeely's delivery will bring it to you here with speed. Yes, our speedy delivery is a speedy delivery. Speedy delivery to you, Scott. Speedy delivery.
David, go ahead.
That's the speedy delivery song.
David, you have always been a pal to me, and I hope this is not our last visit. I'm sure it will not be. Congratulations on the stamp, and hope to talk to you and see you again soon one day.
Yeah, one day, let's do another parade. It's just, I've been so busy lately, but Scott, we will do that. We'll carve out a time for a visit, one place or another, okay?
Absolutely. It's a deal. Thank you, David.
Okay, speedy delivery.
Bye-bye. David Newell, the mailman for so many years on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and the Mr. Rogers stamp is reissued as of today, June the 1st. We'll be back right after this.
0725-4380.
Adam Media and Adam the Computer Guy offer a